As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 7, and the 6th verse. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Chapter 7, verse 6, the second epistle to the Corinthians. Sometimes those who were taught of God form their own impressions as to what it is to be one ordained to preach the gospel, and what their everyday life must be. And sometimes those impressions are not well formed, for there are those who think that men ordained of God to preach the gospel must always be in a spiritual frame of mind, and often living just outside the gates of parole. But it is not like that, that men ordained of God to preach go forth to preach the gospel. They do get such experiences like that, but such experiences are few and far between. The Apostle Paul was an outstanding minister of Jesus Christ, and as you read the epistles which he penned to the churches, there are times when he was inspired of God to let out just a little of what his own experiences were in going about preaching the gospel. And they're very solemn to contemplate, and some nowadays who hope we have a commission from God to preach the gospel well nigh tremble as we see to the extent of what the Apostle Paul had to suffer within and without, that he might go forth to preach the gospel in the immediate context. You read, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." People in the pews desiring to worship God aright little know what the feelings are of a man ordained to preach going up into the pulpit, and well might the Apostle Paul plead, "Brethren, pray for us and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may speak with all boldness as I ought to speak." And there is one phrase I have used over the years of my long ministry. You are aware of it, and that is, a prayerless pew will surely mean a powerless pulpit. And it is not just to preach sermons. The great thing is to preach the gospel, that the power of God may be known and felt in it, and it be good tidings of great joy to those who gather together to hear it. What you desire as hearers with God-given ears to hear is what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. You want light, such as God alone can give you. He who is the light of the world, to help you in his light, to see light upon his dealings with you, that you may have a sweet, blessed assurance that you are numbered with him and his people. And now, regarding our subject, you will see that even apostles at times are cast down. Not only the people waiting on God for a token for good, who come up, it may be, with that word of the psalmist, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, and desiring to get some help from heaven. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And now it might be helpful if I just make a comment or two on what the Apostle Paul was cast down about at this special time, as he was enabled to pen the second epistle to the Corinthians. You all remember how he went to Corinth first of all, and God ordained he was to remain there and preach, and the church at Corinth was gathered together and built up and became a notable church, and it remained a prosperous church while the Apostle Paul still dwelt at Corinth and preached there. But when he left to go on his way to do the work of God elsewhere, then Satan took an advantage of it, and divisions arose. There were those who induced a party spirit. Some were for Paul, some for Apollos, and some for Cephas, who is Peter, as you all know. And it wrought confusion in the worship of God among them. And the Apostle Paul was told about it, and the news made him cast down. But then there were other things too, and that is, as the Spirit of Christ was not so manifest in the church, because when you get a party spirit in the pew, then the cause of truth will go down. A church will not be so prosperous in the things which are spiritual and which are all important. And it came about that not only schisms were manifest in that church, but there was misconduct, things not at all consistent with a profession of the name of Jesus, and these things were allowed to continue. And those who were in authority in that church at Corinth did not do what they should do before God and man. They did not exercise the discipline that the Word of God demands, where those who were evildoers and living inconsistent lives are to be rebuked and their sin pointed out to them. If so be, they may be wrought upon to confess it and live another life, becoming the gospel which they profess to love and under which they have been benefited and therefore were added to the church. And now it was these things dwelling in the Apostle Paul's breast that made him cast down. And he wrote the second epistle to the Corinthians to give them further instruction. And he made it plain what must be done if they were to get back to that prosperity that they knew at the first when he was at Corinth and preached the gospel to them. And Titus was sent to see how the church at Corinth had received the warnings which the Apostle Paul had given. There were those there who were false teachers, and they were envious of the Apostle Paul, and they sought to ignore the warnings which he gave, and he gave them from God. But when Titus arrived, he found the church was being brought into a much better frame of mind, and those who were false teachers were set aside, and the evil doings were dealt with by discipline, and God owned it and blessed it, so that one member who was very guilty before God and man was restored to the church fellowship. And now Titus had returned to where the Apostle Paul was, and he had given him a blessed account of how matters were improved in the church at Corinth, so that he rejoiced in the good news which Titus delivered. And now he gives the background of it in our subject. And I thought, as I pondered this subject, it would be a wonderful blessing if nowadays in the Church of Christ, and you can think about it in our denominational life, my friends, if people who love the truth, especially those with names on church rolls, knew something of this line of things that the Apostle Paul felt regarding the church at Corinth. Not to get together to discuss the news of the churches. Report, say they, and we will report it. But to be troubled before God and to be cast down because the honor of God was set aside when things which ought not to be are to be seen in the churches of Christ. It would be good if that frame of mind could be granted to all of us, and that we might sigh and cry for whatever we see to be amiss in the church of Christ, and wait on God that he will in mercy return to us and revive his work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And now that is all I must say regarding the Apostle Paul. And yet this word is not only for apostles and preachers of the gospel when they are cast down. It is a blessed truth that will be fulfilled to all who are sinners born again. And I do like this word, this beautiful title, which is given to God. God that comforteth those that are cast down. And there is just one more comment I must make regarding the Apostle Paul. And that is, what a beautiful picture this really is. Paul was Paul the aged. Titus was Paul's son in the faith, and he loved him dearly, but he was a young man, a young minister, and yet the coming of Titus with the good news from Corinth that he brought to the Apostle Paul were the means of that dear apostle being comforted and rising above the things which had made him otherwise to be cast down so long. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. What a frame of mind those words describe. And if you and I are taught of God, we should know somewhat of it. We should be troubled on every side at times especially. And mark how that is worded. We were troubled on every side. And now you may think, oh, everybody has trouble. Yes, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. But the world at large only know common trouble. People who are taught of God have not only common trouble, such as worldlings endure, but they have also uncommon troubles. And a worldly man could not say that he was troubled on every side. All his troubles were outside, to do with time and the world at large. But a godly man is troubled inside and outside. And that is what the Apostle Paul means when he says, we were troubled on every side. You see, a godly man has to live his life in the world at large, go about therein to earn the bread which perisheth, and seek to serve his generation according to the will of God, and to endure in a profession of the name of Jesus, show the world how Christians live. But he has one trouble which no worldling is ever the subject of, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. As regards the worldling, the psalmist says, they are not in trouble. They are not plagued like other men, godly men, the psalmist is referring to. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And now I will just say a little about some of those things whereby the godly are cast down. And it may be you are here before God in a cast down state, and glad you would be if you could get in touch with God that comforteth those that are cast down and be raised up to hope in God and go on your way strengthened to still fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon eternal life. And now one thing that will make sinners born again cast down is that they are not always sure that they are born again. And there is a want sometimes of clear-cut evidence of an interest in eternal realities. When a sinner is born again, he knows that he is born for an eternal state, heaven or hell. And it is a very solemn consideration. And he can begin to understand some petitions in the Word of God. He can see the needs be for that word of Moses, the man of God. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And he can also see the petition of godly David. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And he can understand the disciples when they said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. He begins to feel the unspeakable importance of eternal realities, and he begins to have a right sense, a true sense of values, and he can see that whatever he may possess of the things that worldlings prize, when all is said and done, but one thing is needful. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust and with pleasure in him as my portion boast. And let me encourage you from this viewpoint. If any of you do feel cast down because you want matters to be made right between your soul and God, and you feel as yet that those matters are not made right to your soul's peace and profit, I will ask you, what is it in you that feels like that? How is it you come to be so concerned that eternal realities are precious in your eyes? And now, even in a cast-down state, although you cannot feel as you would like to feel, you are alive. You are alive unto God. The dead know not anything. It is the living who will lay these things to heart. And even that should give you comfort. You may think it is comfort from a negative viewpoint, but it is comfort. And God is the author of it. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. Then you will sometimes feel, as you follow on to know the Lord, so cast down because you want to live unto God, live for God, and show you are on the Lord's side, and yet you have to confess every day, I would do good, but evil is present with me. And every night when you desire to seek God, you have to appear before him, cast down because of your guiltiness before God. And you can ever use that petition, God be merciful to me, a sinner. For that is what you are made more and more aware that you are. But then, in that cast down state, guilty as you are, there is still comfort to be known. And God that comforteth those that are cast down is seekable, get atable. And you are welcome to go to him just as you are and tell him all the truth. How you feel, the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would not, that alas I do, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, said Paul, here is comfort, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, there is victory to be gained. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and you are a cast down sinner. Cast down because you were born again and you desire to get that comfort that God alone can bestow. You will notice in the names given to God throughout the scriptures, look at it from this viewpoint. God that comforteth those that are cast down. And now elsewhere in the sacred pages, the Apostle Paul calls him the God of all comfort. Mark the wording, all comfort. Which means if you are a sinner born again, you are just shut up to God. And the comfort that your soul desires, your cast down soul, is that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. People who know you, esteem you, believe you are a sinner born again, will try to encourage you, speak comforting words to you, and you will appreciate what they do, but it will not do what your soul really desires. For the God of spirits only can fill up the vast desires of man. This comfort is that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. The God of all comfort, God that comforteth those that are cast down. Another thing will make you cast down, and that is you may feel at times your spirit raised, and you are helped to wait on God that you might live more like you ought to live, according to the pattern in the Word of God, live to His honor and glory. And yet, after such a frame of mind, and how you have poured out your soul before the throne of grace, you will find indwelling sin may be stirred up within, crowds of ill thoughts their bane diffuse, proud, envious, false, unclean. Every ransacked corner shows an unsuspected sin. And when you are cast down by what you see within, and I might remind you of what Joseph Hart says, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. You are painfully aware that from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. And every day it is more and more made plain to you. And you are cast down. Because, as I have said, you have that feeling, and God gives you that feeling, I would do good, but evil is present with me. And now, God that comforteth those that are cast down, He can comfort you, poor sinner. And the Word of God tells us, in that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And the comfort that God alone can bestow will come to you like this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall find mercy. There is help for you, and you will find in going to the throne of grace, telling all the truth as to what you feel to be within, you will find God indeed is God that comforteth those that are cast down. And the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, he's welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. God that comforteth those that are cast down. Mark the word comforted is put in the present tense. You have been comforted, some of you, but now you are cast down and you want more comfort to be bestowed by the God that comforteth those that are cast down for the want of it. And then you will find your soul will be cast down, because if God has begun His good work in you, Satan will oppose what God is doing. He cannot undo what God is doing, but you will find what you sung about in the opening hymn is a very painful truth. What though Satan's strong temptations vex and tease thee day by day, and thy sinful inclinations often fill thee with dismay, thou shalt conquer through the Lamb's redeeming blood. But when you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, you are indeed the subject of a cast down soul. And you can only sigh and cry and sometimes plead before God, Lord, save or I perish. Then you will find God that comforteth them that are cast down will be coming to your aid. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Another thing will make you often feel cast down, and that is, you may feel, I hope you do, and feel it often, an urgency, an earnestness at times, that you might live more like what you know you ought to do. You have a name on a church roll, or you ought to have one there. And you know in the Word of God there is the pattern of what is the life of the righteous. And you desire to live such a life. But you have to lament at the end of every day how much you have failed to do that which you desired before God to do. And you are cast down because you cannot be what you want to be according to your feelings and live like a real Christian should do, nor can you keep inside the covers of the Word of God as you desire to do. But you are cast down because sometimes you have to say, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. What you really desire is, make me to walk in thy commands. 'Tis a delightful road, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. You are cast down because you seem to be such a failure. But then the Word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I, the Lord, search the heart. And I must remind you of what Nathan had to tell David. David said, I want to build a house for God. And Nathan said, do all that is in thine heart. But in the night time, God made it plain to Nathan that David was not to build the house of God, for the will of God was that his son Solomon, a man of peace, should be the builder of it. And Nathan had to go and make that known to David, but there was this proviso. When Nathan told what God had made known to him, he added this, God told me to tell you, thou doest well to have it in thy heart to build me a house, although it is not my will you should do it. David made all the provision that he could in gathering together wonderful materials that the house might be built when all that was mortal of him was well laid in the grave. And you can take courage, and it can be said to you, thou doest well that thou hast in thy heart a concern to be a real Christian and not just one with a name to live and dead. One who desires not a saint to appear, grow up with wheat and prove to be a tare, but you want in your soul's experience the equivalent of what the wheat is. Lord of harvest, grant that we, pure and wholesome grain, may be. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. And now, you may be cast down because of your circumstances. Each one, dwelling in his own home life, knows what his circumstances are. Much may be hidden, from others who love them and esteem them and wish them well. And there may be sometimes circumstances altogether unknown to those round about, but they are such circumstances that you are cast down. And you need God that comforteth those that are cast down to appear on your behalf. It is good when this comfort comes in this way. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my help, my stay. And what does God say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he says, I will go before thee and make crooked things straight. I will break in sunder the gates of brass, cut in sunder too the bars of iron. I will make a way where there seems to be no way. And he has done that for his people down through the ages. And when they come to wit's end and all their wisdom is swallowed up and they can do no more but appear before God and seek his divine aid, that they may not sink in the trouble which surrounds them and sink to rise no more. God that comforteth those that are cast down will then say to you, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee in the way in which thou shouldest go. One other thing I touch on, and that is, you may be in a cast down state regarding the future. And now, I must make a plain statement about that. As regards the future, there is only one thing in the future that you should be concerned about, and that will cast you down when you contemplate it. As regards the future for you as a sinner born again, God has guaranteed it. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. It shall be well with them that fear God. Yes, the men that fear the Lord in every state are blessed. The Lord will grant whate'er they want, their souls should dwell at rest. That is the future for poor sinners born again. But there is one thing in the future which will cast you down, and that is when you think of that day which is to dawn. May dawn soon for some of us, your dying day. That hour which will inevitably come when heart and flesh shall fail. Then you will find what the Apostle Paul says, within were fears. My fears sometimes say, I never shall find in death's gloomy day true peace to my mind. And now when the future seems so difficult to face and you are walking in darkness and have no light and you are cast down, it is good then to call to remembrance what God has been pleased to do for you. As the God of all comfort, you are not left without a past experience. You can go back over life's journey from the time when you hope God begun to deal with you, and you can search out evidence upon evidence, set up waymarks and make high heaps, and you can call to remembrance those former days wherein God was pleased to do great things for you, and in the doing thereof, oh how glad you were. You lived like Manoah and his wife. The angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. And here is comfort. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us. And you get comfort when light shines upon the way God has led you. And you can argue, as it were, in looking back, thy love in times past forbids me to think thou wilt leave me at last in trouble to sing. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to carry us right through. God that comforted those that are cast down. And you must admit, God has comforted you. You have some evidences. You have some things treasured up in your soul's experience which you could not let go, because in those things you believe there is what is described in the book of Proverbs. I cause them that love me to inherit substance. That is a good word to think about as regards your religion and the evidences of it. There is substance in it, in the remembrance of what God has done for you. Therefore, though at the present time you are cast down, you have what God has done for you to look back upon, and he is still the God that comforteth those that are cast down, and he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Much might be said about God as God that comforteth those that are cast down. He is a God ready to pardon. He is a God who delighteth in mercy. He is a God who is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God in the name of Jesus. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. And who can tell but what God will be gracious unto you? God that comforted them that are cast down. And this simple illustration here comforted us by the coming of Titus. A young man, a sinner born again under the Apostle Paul's ministry, and by the grace of God made a young minister, comes to visit the aged Apostle Paul, and his visit was made a comfort to him by the good news that he brought him concerning the church at Corinth. And you will find there is comfort to be obtained in all the means of grace. And sometimes you might have been comforted by the coming of someone taught of God where you were, and speaking about the things of God, bringing you some good news, not just religious gossip and the news of the churches, but something to do with eternal realities and good news of God helping other churches, and maybe gracious additions being made. And these are good tidings, and they comfort those that are cast down, for it makes them realize that he is still Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And he is fulfilling his word, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And remember too what comfort there is in the word of God itself. Every page has got something recorded on it which can be made a comfort to you when you are cast down. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And there is just one thing more to say. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you will find in coming a little talk with Jesus, how it smooths life's rugged road, how it cheers and helps me onward when I faint beneath my load. Oh, that God that comforteth those that are cast down may comfort you, my dear friends, and help you to follow on, to know the Lord, and even though cast down, keep in mind you are not destroyed. You are cast down, a poor sinner with a cast down soul, but you are not cast off. And he who hath begun the good work in you will finish it. Amen.